Welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. We got to go to bed twice last night.
Yeah, that was fun.
Unceremoniously awakened at 4:30 in the morning.
I didn't know there was two 4:30s.
Oh, man. I try not to have two 4:30s. Anyway, so we seem a little dreamier than usual. That could be it. So, Bill, who's our sponsor this hour?
Oh, it's funny you should mention that.
That was my lead-in, but I thought people might not be able to read through the lines.
Yeah, our sponsor is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. Pape's located at 3119
Don't
Twin
give
View.
The address. That's what started all this.
Oh, yeah. 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. And if you're looking for a John Deere tractor or a mower or an implement, go up and see them. If you're looking for Honda generators or steel products, they've got a full line up there in stock ready to go. Give them a call at 226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Yeah. Yeah. If you just have this itch to go out at the wee hours of the morning and break things.
Yeah, you can go up and see them then.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's usually people hanging around.
Yeah.
Breaking windows, you know.
Yeah, you know, throwing stuff.
Yeah, throwing things.
Anyway, there's a moron born every day, isn't there?
Yeah, there is.
Actually, I watched Idiocracy, and I'm pretty sure it's happening more than once a day now.
Yeah.
That's what I learned.
Yeah.
It's a really dumb movie, but it's old.
Yeah.
Kind of old. Like what?
In fact, when we leave here, let's go buy some Rondo.
Brondo.
Oh, Brondo. Yeah, Brondo.
Brondo. We need to have a full supply of Brondo. Yeah, if you have not seen Idiocracy and you find today's world events just beyond your comprehension, you need to watch that. Actually, the guy who wrote it said he wrote it as a joke. He didn't really mean for it to be any kind of a documentary.
No.
That's pretty
or bad. You could just watch Chris Wallace on Sunday mornings and there's some...
Yeah, but then you go out and break the windows.
Well, that's true. Yeah, there's some Idiocracy going on there. So.
God, he's a moron.
Whoa.
So our guest today, Dr. Lyle Rapacki, is... he's always in the throes of something. He was like in the midst of all the illegal alien thing and we talked to him a bunch about that and the national security stuff and all that. And, you know, he's a cutting-edge guy.
He just kind of morphs
from things. And
I think he runs in his house, grabs a sandwich and a cup of coffee, and hits the road again.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, he's never...
And everybody has his phone number, I think. Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's just us.
No.
But he has been up to his eyeballs, literally, in this voter fraud mess down in Arizona. Doing the... What did I call our show today? I tried to be Arizona Election Fraud Investigation Part 2.
I heard he cast his 14th vote last weekend, so he's...
Nobody probably met that.
Oh.
We did the first part of the show on January 24th, 2021. Today is February 14th, 2021. I guess happy Valentine's Day. I'm going to take a nap later. Just a spoiler alert that.
Yeah, I love you, but leave me alone.
That's my plan today.
Where's my pillow?
Even chocolate can't dig me out of this one. But they've found, you know, quite a few things. So he's going to tell us all about that. And I just want to kind of bring to everybody's attention that the E. Prescott News, they have these video casts that are plus or minus 30 minutes on each one. I've attached some on the page for today at wethepeopleradio.us. I attached the link to the E. Prescott News and also the videos that, you know, you basically wind up watching them on you can watch them on YouTube. And they're doing all sorts of stuff. This thing changes all the time. Let's see, the last three I posted were February 3rd, February 8th, and February 10th. So it's, you know, the news is coming hot and heavy from Arizona. So Dr. Rapacki, just in case we made him sound like he was kind of a guy sitting around waiting for something to do. Actually, he's a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist. So there. Since June of 2010, he's provided selected members of the Arizona legislature intelligence briefings on border security and threats to Arizona sovereignty, which actually turned out to be a perfect lead-in to the voter fraud mess. He also receives, analyzes, and disseminates critical intelligence from and to law enforcement, intelligence, and government communities. He's the author of a dozen white papers, bulletins, and briefings, many of which have received distribution to and by local, state, and federal law enforcement, intelligence, and public safety agencies. And he is the owner of Sentinel Intelligence Services. I used to have the website up there. I forgot to ask you, Lyle, if it is something going haywire with it because it... The link seems to be malfunctioning. But he provides tons of consultation to elected officials. He's a good organizer, a good researcher. He's got his bachelor's in political science and a master's in counseling from Northern Arizona University, which I'm sure in 2021 is coming in incredibly handy, and a doctorate from Clayton College of Natural Medicine, specializing in the treatment of psychological disorders. Yet again, you are perfectly trained for this.
Yes.
So I don't know if you want to give people a little recap, maybe as a way to start, or I don't know. We're not going to tell you what to do. You work on this all the time.
Well, thanks, guys. It's always fun being with you. Sometimes more fun than others. This is one of those times or one of those periods in time where it's fun to be with you, but not as much cutting up and fun as we've had in the past years because of the nature of the issue. Going over some things, that's not a bad idea, Aaron.
Because I've had people say that they don't really understand what, investigations of voter fraud in Arizona have to do with everybody else. Like, you know, why does everybody else care about that?
Yes and no. I mean, that is correct. And it is a yes and no answer. Have had people say that, but very few. Most of the nation is cheering Arizona on because they realize that in their area, they also have story upon story of voter fraud, be it alleged or otherwise. And over the last couple of months, there's been so many videos, so much information that has come forward, even though the politicos and the courts dismiss it all, it's hanging out there. And you can't dismiss it that readily, not among we the people. I was asked way back in November, prior to Thanksgiving, seems like a lifetime ago, to coordinate the joint legislative hearing, public hearing, in Phoenix with members of the Arizona Senate and Arizona House of Representatives to accept information and evidence and testimony by Mr. Giuliani, Mayor Giuliani and his team, and others. That was the fifth legislative hearing I've coordinated in my little life. Four others, and the chairman of this public hearing was Representative Mark Finchin. And I've known Representative Finchin for a number of years, as I have many of these legislators. He actually was part of two other legislative hearings that I coordinated, so he knew that I had some experience hurting legislators, senators, and representatives, and it's kind of like hurting kittens. You got to keep them all going in the right direction. And I think, Aaron, you know about that, working with a congressman. So for 2 weeks, maybe three, I apologize, 2.5, 3 weeks prior to the hearing, I was already coordinating this public hearing. And the idea was to take a look at and have evidence presented and testimony on alleged voter fraud in Arizona, but in a couple of other states. The hearing went extremely well. It was 10 hours. It was a public hearing. Five national platforms covered it, gavel to gavel. They were all conservative, One American Network, Right Side, Breitbart, Steve Bannon, a couple of others. And they were just outstanding in how they all covered the information. They didn't take sides. They covered it so Americans, like in old days, could watch and make up their own decisions. So after the hearing that day, the next day, the president of the state Senate and the speaker of the House asked for a private briefing. So Mr. Giuliani and the team, we went to and held a private briefing that lasted 2.5 hours. Excuse me, guys. 2.5 hours. After that briefing, one of the Maricopa County supervisors, Maricopa County is where Phoenix is, Glendale, Scottsdale, Tempe, all that's in that county. And most people listening would understand that.
That's basically your big population center in Arizona.
Yeah, it's the big population center. It's the main. It's in central Arizona. Again, Phoenix is there in Maricopa County. Glendale was in Maricopa County. ASU, Arizona State University.
Hang on for 2 seconds, Lyle. Right. Let's take a really swift break, and that way you can grab a glass of water and people can refer to their map and look up Maricopa County. Because I've had a lot of folks that ask, why are they doing it there? So we're going to find all that out.
And I will answer that one.
Exactly. And because we're making him, he's like our puppet. He's far away, but, you know, he does what we say. I love it when he's muted and I can say whatever I want. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Them when they move into your neighborhood, they take over but good. They want you all body and soul, then it's just your body. Then they go, what shall we do about them?
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass has a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
Well, there you have it. Okay, so why, I'm guessing you guys started in Maricopa County because it's the big one. But
well, that was part of it. It was the largest county, but there were three counties in Arizona. Arizona has 15 counties. Three of them allegedly have significant voter fraud, Maricopa, Pima, and Coconino. Maricopa being the largest that we had identified, of over 400,000 illegal ballots cast for Mr. Biden. We also had other accumulated evidence that showed that the Dominion voting machines in Maricopa County were inappropriately used and hacked. And so it was best to go ahead and take on Maricopa County. At the same time that we went ahead and looked at Maricopa County, we were aware of problems in Georgia, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. Since that time, Arizona seems to have taken the lead, and I don't mean that in any negative way, but we've been pushing the envelope, and other states have been watching. New Mexico and the state of Nevada have now come forward and said that they've got serious questions about their voting process. And thanks to Arizona, we do now know several states are looking at what Arizona is going through, and we're going through a hell of a fight. The Board of Supervisors in Maricopa County met with us that Tuesday, the day after the hearing, the public hearing. And I will tell you that virtually, you can put them in one hand, the number of elected officials in at least the state of Arizona that believed that the public hearing would be anything other than a kangaroo court or a Mickey Mouse show. They had no confidence in it. They thought it was grandstanding, thought it was stupid, thought there was no need for it. Three-quarters of the way through that hearing, some phone calls were starting to be made saying, maybe we need to talk about this. The next day when we met with elected officials at the state capitol, additional evidence and information was provided to these leaders demonstrating that not only everything that had gone on the day before, but there was clear prima facie evidence to warrant further investigation and to bring forward actual evidence of alleged voter fraud, both with the machines and ballots and the process. That was not well received.
And I can imagine.
It didn't remain well received. Say again?
I can only imagine.
No, it was not well received at all. I mean, I'm being very understated. The Board of Supervisors, they were one of the lead supervisors I interviewed that next day, and then I got Mr. Giuliani and shared with him that I think he instead of meeting the plane that needed to take them to Michigan, we need to postpone the plane and let's meet with the supervisor, and I explained why. So for an additional 45 minutes, Mayor Giuliani shared with this Maricopa County supervisor additional information, at which time that supervisor said clearly to those in the room, I am going back to the board. I'm going to ask for an executive session. I'm going to lay this all out and anything else you might give me, and then I'm going to see that we launch an investigation. I won't say he lied, but I will say that what he shared in that private meeting and what came out with the Board of Supervisors one day later was 180 degrees opposite. It's been like that ever since. One thing is said publicly, another thing is done privately. One thing is said in and through negotiations, another thing is implemented afterwards. So this has been a constant routine. After a couple of weeks, and I may be off by a week, after about 3 weeks of a lot of work, a lot of providing evidence, the president of the Senate, Arizona Senate, called for the Senate Judiciary Committee to meet and to review evidence and to interview certain key people, including members of the Board of Supervisors. That lasted most of the day. It was about an eight-hour hearing, at which time the supervisors and the, one of the county attorneys in Maricopa County stated that they would agree to cooperate fully and thoroughly with the Arizona Senate in seeking a forensic evaluation and reviewing all matters pertinent to the recent election. At that time, the State Senate Committee on the Judiciary issued a subpoena to obtain all the ballots so they could be forensically evaluated, all the machines and the tabulators, so they could be forensically evaluated from a cybersecurity standpoint. Everybody agreed to that. Only a day later, they have the supervisor say, we don't agree, we're not going to cooperate, and they took it to court saying that the state Senate has no authority to do this.
What do you think caused that change of heart all of a sudden?
I don't think they're honest. I think it's been proven that they've lied, talked out of both sides of their mouth.
Okay.
I think they say one thing politically expedient, like many political people do, and hope that the citizens are dumb enough and satisfied enough to go to school away. And I will tell you that across this nation, citizens are fed up. They're fed up. They're not mad. They're not just annoyed. They're fed up.
I think they're mad.
Fed up. Say again?
I think they're mad, too.
I think they're mad, but I think it goes beyond that.
Oh, well, yeah. Sorry.
They're fed up. They're fed up. They're done. They're tired of listening. They're tired of listening to politicians. They're tired of at all levels. They're tired of listening to elected officials who have no concept, none, of what it means to be a servant leader. I wrote an article, you can find it on Prescott E! News. As a side note, for your listeners, Prescott E! News is in Prescott, Arizona, and it's a conservative publication online and otherwise. And I was asked a year ago to just start writing some commentary for them, and then all of this has happened. And because of the tremendous care, concern, anger, et cetera, et cetera. Just come down a whole list of adjectives. What I thought would be easier, because I could not answer a lot of questions because I was privy to a lot of information that we were still waiting to put out in a very orderly fashion, not in a histrionic fashion. I couldn't answer things. So I thought, you know, what might be best is let's do a show, 25, 27-minute show, once a week or sometimes twice, called Arizona Today. I did not take much of it other than it would be a good platform where I could put some information out that would be allowed to go out, public would be served, public would hear more than they normally have been hearing. But it would give me a platform to orderly put forward some information without messing up all the different things that were going on behind the scenes. And there was a tremendous amount, still is. So we started Arizona Today, and it has skyrocketed. I don't know enough about this. You guys do, but technologically. For Prescott E! News, and that's who hosts it. I do Arizona Today through Prescott E! News. Just that website alone, Prescott E! News, receives about 250,000 clicks or hits every time I do an Arizona Today. They track that. You understand all that. I don't. But I think every time somebody clicks on your show, there's a click or there's a count.
Mm-hmm. You can see that.
Can you really? Okay.
Yeah.
And then I went on a couple of other platforms, people I had known for quite a while. And those producers, a day later, 2 days later, were astounded. They would call and say, "Hey, Dr. Lyle, we covered your show last night, for instance, on our platform." I'm thinking of one in Phoenix in particular. We had 187,000 clicks or hits in one day. And I went, "Well, wait a minute, 187? Maybe you're duplicating what Prescott E! News." That's me. I don't understand this stuff.
But they go to a page, you can see it.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I don't. And people who've known me a long time, they giggle and they go, "Just step away from the computer, Dr. Lyle. Don't touch anything."
Just in case people think he's kidding. We have to talk. Every Sunday he's going to be on. We have to call each other and find out what time it is where he is and what time it is here. So that we all show up at the same time. So there, we have other technological difficulties. You have no idea how hard we work together.
We have some challenges. We have some challenges.
Put together. Oh, my God.
We all finished our GED, didn't we?
Yeah, you know, and I carry mine around with me.
I know. I'm smart, too. I'm smart.
just in case. Oh, my gosh. We've got to take another really quick break. Sorry about that.
Okay.
That would be the ha-ha-ha interlude to the, "Oh, by the way, we'll be right back." You can find us at We the People Radio. That's also how you can forward this show and the one we did before on the 24th with them. You can find all those. Today is February 14th, 2021.
.us.
And you can go there to We the People Radio.
.us.
It's Bill's job. Bill's moving in on my territory. Good job. What is it again, Bill?
.us.
Excellent.
Now, see?
Never been lonely, never been lied to, never had so many fears, I've been denied to. Born at the end's end, church bells chime, the whole world was spread.
Up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
We'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, singing whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
Thought we better get to the drinking songs a little earlier than usual.
Yeah.
It seemed like that kind of a day. Okay, so when these guys kind of refused to do what they said, Lyle, You guys had no idea until they went into their supervisor's meeting, I'm assuming?
Correct. They stated publicly, on record, videotaped, that they would comply. They would work diligently along with the state Senate to do a forensic audit and to do everything they could to clarify any misconceptions and to bring forward any questions and to get to the bottom of said questions if there were concerns in any shape or form. They then went back on that 24 hours later. It's been like that for the past couple of months. On a couple of occasions, the supervisors have gone to the Senate to try to negotiate, can we work this out somehow where we can all come out as friends? I'm not making this up. I'm not being theatrical. It's been disgusting. It's been utterly, absolutely, categorically disgusting.
Yeah, really. What does that mean, come out friends?
Well, and tell me this.
Well, no, that's exactly what happened, Bill. A week, I may be off now, 10 days ago, when several legislators said, well, we really can't go after these people. I mean, they're our friends. We know them. That's crap.
Yeah.
You know, something.
Yeah. Now, how many supervisors are there? How many?
Five.
Okay.
Four are Republican and one is Democrat. One of the arguments that was made by the supervisors, you can call them county commissioners in some areas, was that the legislature had no authority whatsoever to do that. Well, that's not true. What was argued very straightforwardly is that under the United States Constitution, Article 3, Section 2, the legislature does have the full and complete authority to issue subpoenas and arrest warrants. They are the chief legislative authority. In the state, you have sub-legislatures, if you'll allow me some latitude, like supervisors, city councils,
sure,
HOAs. Now, those are sub-legislative authorities or bodies. They have limited, very defined authority and areas of responsibility. But the chief legislative authority in any state in the United States, all 50, is the state legislature. Under the Constitution, in all 50 states, the state legislature has full and complete authority to issue subpoenas and to issue an arrest warrant for failure to comply or in contempt. So this has gone on back and forth for the last 6 weeks now. There's been ample evidence presented to argue prima facie. That this is not just a theory, there's not just a hypothesis that the election was fraudulent or interfered with. I would understand if it was just hypothetical, you'd say, well, you know, that's not enough.
Sure.
But when you are presented evidence that reaches the level of prima facie, just like in a criminal case where you have a crime, but you can't just claim it to be a, now fill in the blank, a murder, a robbery, a whatever, but you present measurable evidence, not opinion, not hypotheses, but measurable evidence, physical evidence, you then reach that level of probable cause. And then go to prima facie where you have reasonable suspicion, then you have probable cause, then you have prima facie to issue arrest warrants or to go ahead and pursue it in a court matter. That's what's happened here. Every step of the way, evidence has been presented to take it to the next level to order a forensic evaluation. One of the things that has been said consistently is even in the face of actual evidence that's been presented, when the forensic audits are completed, if there's nothing there, then we tell the public there's nothing there. yes, the evidence pointed in that direction, but from a full and complete evaluation, forensically and from a national security standpoint, there is nothing there. Then the supervisors, the legislature, and all connected did their job. You see, an elected official, it doesn't matter what level, if they take an oath, they're to preserve and defend and protect the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic. These people have gone back on their oaths. They've mocked their oaths, and the public is fed up. Mm-hmm. They're more than angry. They are angry, but they're more than angry. They're livid. And it has now gotten to the point across this nation where people are not even listening to elected officials because they don't trust what comes out of their mouths for the most part. Now, there are a remnant of elected officials across the nation who are still fighting the good fight. But a large majority are full of crap. My show, which I thought would be just something somewhat simple to put out information and dispel a lot of the myths and crap that's going on out there on Facebook, the net, the internet, and all that, because there's a lot of crap. It has now gotten to the point within 5 weeks, it's over 2.3 or 2.5 million people. I'm overwhelmed. I'm humbled. The letters that have come in, we never asked for letters. You go back and look at the first show or two, I never asked for anything. I just was putting out some information. And we got inundated. Prescott News, Arizona Today, Prescott News. I'm not doing a commercial. I'm not being funny.
But we should, because if they're willing to put that information forward, it's...
Well, they did, but we had to. I'm Lyle Packer reporting for Prescott News. This is how I see Arizona Today. But, I mean, that was it. And on their own, Americans across this nation started writing, sending, and it was overwhelming. We thought maybe it was a fluke. Maybe you shouldn't say that, but I'm not politically correct. I thought, well, that was nice. Maybe, some people, they wrote. And so I think the first day we had 82 letters.
Wow.
And I went, no. Yeah, and I thought, well, that's really something. The next day we had 120. And I went, well, okay, that makes some sense. And then by the end of the second week, we're over 275, and then it's gone up. We get about, 400 or 500 letters a week. It's overwhelming. That's not counting emails. That's not counting emails. Not counting phone calls. The people across this nation are so superb. Handwritten. They're typed. A lot of them are typed too. That's correct. But handwritten letters and notes and cards. I'm going to do a show. If I don't do it this, I may do it this Wednesday. I'm waiting on a particular guest, which I can't mention right now, but a particular guest, and we're trying to work out some of the logistics. And if I can't arrange that, I'm thinking this Wednesday what I'm going to do is a show. We're calling it a show about nothing. I know you, Bill, and I have talked about that in the past. But I talked to the editor of Prescott News, and I said, Anita, I really think what we should do is we should bring out these boxes of letters.
Yeah,
there's
just read
boxes of them. And let's put them in, and let's take... I've got this week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 2.5, I know that sounds funny, but 2.5 administrative assistants going back through all the letters we've already read, and we're going to pull out some very dear letters. I have one later here today I'll read to you, just part snippets of. It's overwhelming. Your heart is, I've gotten to the point now, I know I'm stuttering because I don't know how to respond to this. The people are so enraged that they're so hopeful. They're so scared about losing this nation. They're so scared. And that's the right words. I'll read it to you. They're so scared about what has happened and how come there's such a cover up and why, where are our servant leaders? I talked about it a couple times and then I did an article. I wrote an article, a commentary on servant leadership. I posted it on Prescott News, and not knowing, I mean, I'm not technologically really great at this, it has gone all over the nation. And now people are writing in, we agree with you, Dr. Lyle, in servant leadership. Well, I'm from Maine, from Vermont, from North Dakota, from Washington State, from Honolulu, from Pensacola, Florida. I just put on names. You would just think I'm dropping names. But, I mean, I can show you letter after letter after letter after letter after letter after letter after card after card. And these people are handwriting. It's emotionally draining in a good way. It's very humbling. And they're going, thank you for talking about servant leadership. We don't have any servant leaders. Where have the servant leaders gone? And I only posted that one time on Prescott News, and I think they've got it up there.
It is. I just pulled it, and I'm going to put it on our page.
Okay, thank you. I didn't see.
Yeah.
And people are contacting, and they're reading this stuff, and they're in agreement, and I'm very humbled by it. But that said, and I know I've taken some time, but people are angry. They
yeah.
are angry. They're not listening to the elected officials. And in Arizona, was it a week ago? A little week ago. When that one senator who's a liberal, he's a rhino, went ahead and changed his vote and said, no, we're not going to do a subpoena, I'm voting with the Democrats, the lid came off. The lid came off over here. Before 5 minutes had gone out, after he did that, changed his vote and never told anybody, it was Senator Boyer. Senator Boyer, state senator, District 20, people can write, they can call, I don't care. At first, I said, no, let's be careful. Hell no. Bombard the state legislature. Get them out. There's a recall going on. About 5 minutes after he did that, and it was deceptive and very deceptive. I won't get into it too much, but very deceptive what this man did. Three of his legislative precinct committee people called and said, we're starting a recall. 5 minutes after he did that. That same night, about, 5 hours later, I may be off by a few hours, but 5-6 hours later, they had a meeting in his legislative district. 40 people said, that's it, we're done. We are so livid with everything that's going on with elected officials, going on with Maricopa County, with everything. We're recalling him. The next day, articles of recall appeared. That's how fast that has appeared on that senator. And he still thought it was a joke, and so did others, until some things began to come public showing how serious the people were. They're fed up. They're fed up with elected officials. It doesn't matter what level. It doesn't matter if they're Parks and Rec elected official, city council. It doesn't
Well,
matter.
Especially when the guy said he was going to do one thing, and then he was the cataclysmic vote that changed the ability for you guys to issue the subpoenas. We've got to take another quick break, but when we come back, I want you to explain what those subpoenas would have done and what they will do when you guys get that straightened out, so people understand what didn't happen, because that's really important to know. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Good job, Bill.
Yeah.
Don't ever sell your saddle, never owe another man. Watch where you spit on a windy day. Don't use words you don't understand. Find the Lord before you need Him, and never lose your pride. Don't ever sell your saddle, 'cause life's a long, long ride. Don't ever sell your saddle, 'cause life's a long, long ride.
I'm not sure if he was thinking about the Arizona Senate when he wrote that one, but seems like your senator there ought to re-listen to that song. So if that guy wouldn't have voted with the Democrats, what would have happened?
Subpoena would have been issued again, and what's called a Senate resolution for the arrest of the supervisors would have been issued. That is legal. It's constitutional.
Well, that would have been exciting.
What happened then is the president of the Senate would have ordered the sergeant of arms to effect the arrest of the Board of Supervisors. He would have ordered the Department of Public Safety to accompany him to the Maricopa County offices. They would have effected the arrest of the supervisors and other key individuals.
And what would the charge be?
In this case, let me just say it would be contempt of Senate.
Yeah.
The machines would have been seized, the ballots would have been seized, and the tabulators. Tabulators are machines also, but I'm separating them out. The voting machines from the tabulators to the ballots. All would have been seized. They would have been protected as crime scenes, and a forensic audit would have been ordered. The forensic audit team is standing by. They are national security qualified. They're forensic cybersecurity specialists. I've been working with them since, November something, 2 weeks before Thanksgiving, a week before Thanksgiving. So how many weeks is that now? Do the math, somebody. They are bona fides. They're very neat people. They have phenomenal credentials. They are not arrogant. Make sophisticated computer talk easy to follow. I mean, they're brilliant. Colonel Phil Waldron is the lead of that, and Colonel Waldron is just a stand-up guy, not self-promoting, and he can take the most sophisticated discussion on all the computer fraud, which will be coming here, and put it in seventh grade language so Dr. Lyle understands it. So I sound smarter at times because I've listened to Phil, Colonel Walter, but I still am not allowed to touch any of that stuff. I don't know why, but they won't allow me in the room. But anyway, I understand a little bit more what they're doing. I'll have him on my show first sometime coming up here. And that'll probably be a couple of shows because we will go through the compromise of the machines. I mentioned on your show last time, a month ago, two satellites have been involved, six nations were involved, a number of other things that I couldn't discuss at that time. I'm still not discussing, but I think the time is quickly coming where we will start to pull the curtain back and lay it out there. And I think once people hear all of this, and they shall, I think across this nation, bombshells will go off. This election was not only fraud, there were not only mistakes made, it was stolen. It was a coup, very well orchestrated. It began some time back. We know. We've seen the evidence that they actually practiced this a year before the election. We know where they practiced it. We know who practiced it. We know who was in the audience and practiced it. We know all of that. We didn't know it six weeks ago. We now know.
So for people who haven't followed some of that, can you give them the, got about 4 minutes or so, and can you give them a little thumbnail of just how wide-ranging this is?
The fraud is extremely wide-ranging. 16 states were involved, Arizona being one of 15 others. We've heard the names, Pennsylvania, Georgia, all that over and over. The ballots were rigged, some of them. Some of them were fraudulently delivered. If you remember, in most of these states, at around 10 or 11 o'clock at night, all of a sudden they shut down the balloting. We're going home for the night, and Trump was ahead. And when they reopened the balloting at 6 a.m., Biden was ahead. Well, during that six-hour period, false ballots, fake ballots, were delivered and put through machinery. That's a fact. It's not opinion. It's not a theory. Likewise, they had it set up so when you went to vote and you cast your vote, either a vote was taken away from Trump or a vote was given to Biden plus a percentage, for instance, like 1.4% went to Biden. So if you hit the button or press the button or however it was done here in your area, a vote for Biden, 1.4 went to Biden. Not one, 1.4. Now that sounds insignificant, but add up 10 of those, 20 of those, and you got not only 20, but you got 20 plus all the 0.4s. Am I making some sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you'll see the next day when they gave the vote tallies, Biden had 60.45% of the vote. How do you do that? How do you get 60.38 or 60, That's because it was all handled in extremely arithmetic fashion where they messed with the actual forensics of the voting.
Well, I heard too that on the Trump side they actually tabulated those at less than a point per vote.
That's
per
correct.
Vote.
So you went in and voted for Trump, and this is really just an analogy right now. I want you to understand that this is an analogy what I'm saying. But Bill, to your point, yes. But my analogy, that's all I'm saying right now, is instead of the one vote for Trump, it was like three quarters,
right,
for Trump.
Now you add the two together, and it makes a huge difference.
There you go.
Yeah.
And we now know this in multiple states. We didn't know it a couple of months ago. We now know this. So
the county clerks have to – where does this happen? Does it happen at the – what are you guys finding? Like it happens at the county level when the precincts are turning in their votes? Is it happening at the precinct level? Or does it wait till it gets to the Secretary of State?
No, it happens at the precinct. They –
So when they're turning in vote totals that have fractional percentages, isn't that kind of a clue?
Should have been.
Yeah, okay. So, because I've always maintained that, at the most basic level, they have to be in on it because it doesn't make any sense if they are not.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. And okay. So we've got to take a little news break. You can get a snack and stuff. You know, still California and Arizona are on different time, but we still only have 5 minutes, so don't go anywhere far. But I want to know about your Secretary of State there too. Before we forget about them, I don't even know if it's a man or a lady. But we're on with Dr. Lyle Rapacki. Easy for me to say. You're listening to We the People. We'll be back in another hour, and you can find us at We the People Radio.
.us.
Good job, Bill.
Yeah.